All right, so today we're going to continue in part three of Faith's Foundations, and I'm excited, I'll tell you, in light of this this message today, in light of kind of the circumstances that we're faced with in our world, if many of you have been watching the news, there seems to be a lot of negativity going on, and so today I will intermittently address some of that throughout the message. But the title of today's message that we'll be looking at is The Authority of the Bible, The Authority of God's Word. It is relevant, it is important, it is essential to our everyday lives. Can I impress upon you right up front that this is not a Sunday school lesson for you to forget? There is so much happening in our world today that we must take the Bible, God's instruction manual to each of us, take it seriously and apply it every day of the week. I appreciate that you apply it when you're here at church. Thank you. But I really, really, really want you to apply it when I'm not with you, when you're not here at church. Amen. Every day of the week. So anyway, we're going to dive in. Before we do that, I want to tell you that Johnny and Sarah Scott are finally here, our new family pastors. They're not in the room, but I have a picture of them. That's them. Give them a big hand, even though they're not here. They're in the back. So Johnny's in with Abby today in the elementary age class, and Sarah, I think, is in the junior chapel class. They're kind of getting kind of immersed in the culture of Legacy Chapel over the next couple of weeks, and Abby will be helping. And then she will be back in service with us, my wife. I will reintroduce her to all of you. There's many of you that come and go through the church and have never met Abby, which is astounding to me because she is by far the better half of this couple. She is an amazing woman of God who pulls it and keeps it all together. So she took five boys to San Diego on a road trip. I was the driver. I'm the fifth boy. And she made it back safe and sound. We had an amazing time. It was really, really good for our family. We haven't done something like that in a long time. And it's good to take time to be with your family. It's good. You know I'm going to have some stories coming out of that, right? Like a lot of stories coming out of a lot of stories. Hey, would you guys do me a favor? Did you mute that for me, the drums and stuff? Okay, just double check it again. Yeah, thank you. All right, grab your notes today. We're going to continue to look at Ephesians chapter 2, but today I brought it for you in the Message Bible, and I want to read you. It's a different version, different translation of the same passage of Scripture that we've been looking at as we've kind of, we've been using the analogy out of this passage of Scripture about building, about a foundation, about a building that God is building called the body of Christ. And here is the Message Bible. I do enjoy many versions of the Bible, and sometimes it's good to go and read different ones that you normally read just to get a different perspective, a different take. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. But Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22, the Message Bible says this: "This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone." Man, I like that. "God is building a home. He is using us all, irrespective of how you got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation." That's what we've been talking about. "And now he's using you." Can you circle that? "And now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home." What an interesting take and perspective on that passage of Scripture, where again, where we see the analogy Paul's using to the early church about a building that is being built, and he talks about how that each of us, and we've read it before, stones, and here brick by brick or stone by stone, that the foundation has been laid by the apostles and the prophets, so the teaching of those early disciples, and then he makes the very important point that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of it all. So much so that it holds it all together. Somebody who is the centerpiece of it all, and that is Jesus Christ. And we continue to focus on that, and we will continue to talk about that. But here then he says, brick by brick, stone by stone. Some of us are looking for God just to add water and it to pop up overnight. We see the vision of what God's called us to, of who we are as a person, as an individual, as a believer, that God's building us up to be this great person and to have a great family and to have that great job and to have this and to have that and to sit back and feel great about it. But the Bible continues to reiterate brick by brick, stone by stone, I'm building a home that I will enjoy. You in your life, God's building you brick by brick, stone by stone. He's ensuring that each challenge, each trial, each victory, each success is stone by stone, brick by brick, building the person, building the individual that he wants you to be, that he desires you to be. Now, here's what's incumbent upon that. We have to care about what God has to say. All of that is for naught if we do not care about what it is that God is saying. How is he instructing us? How is he guiding us? How is he influencing us to become that person? Because many in the church today would say, well, I've given my heart to the Lord. What else is it that you want me to do? I went to church once when I was 18, when I was 20, when I was 28, when I was 40, when I was whatever age that you pick. I went to church. I gave my heart for the Lord. Now, what else is it that you want me to do? That's good. That's a good first step. But we want you to become everything that God's called you to be. That means you have to care with intention. What is it that God is saying? What is he instructing you with? What is he giving you to dive into and to learn more about? His words, his instructions. Can I tell you today, as we look at God's, that's what I'm holding up. If many of you are unfamiliar, this is a book. You guys have been online for a while. This is a book. It's got pages in it with words and things. I'm teaching my sons that too. God's word is an instruction manual for our life. An instruction manual. You know the thing you're supposed to read before you put the toys together. The box on the outside is a clue, some assembly required. When you came to this earth, you had on your packaging some assembly required. There was a brick by brick, stone by stone, there is a requirement for the assembling of your lives. You know it's true. Before you got married, there were some things you had to change. And when you got married, there was some stuff you had to change. And when you had kids, there was some more, you guys are catching on, there was some more stuff that you had to change. And then when the kids leave, as I understand it, because they're still in my house, there's some more stuff that has to change. There's a growing process of brick by brick, stone by stone, you are becoming who God intended you to be. So the Bible, God's word, is what it declares itself to be, which is the word of God, your instruction manual for this life here on earth. We're going to take an entire message today and talk about the Bible in church. Everybody just exhale for a moment. I mean, like, it's going to be good. The Bible is important for our lives. It's the authority by which we should place everything on. It is the measuring stick by which we should measure everything in our lives. Now, there are some horrific, we're going to take a little exit here and we'll get back on in just a moment, okay? There are some horrific events that are taking place in our world today. This morning I was told, because I was here at church, I was told that there was another shooting in Baton Rouge and other police officers have now died this morning. Four shot. All four died? Not sure. Okay. There are some horrific things taking place. We were on vacation. We heard about the incident in Dallas. We were on vacation. We heard about the incident in Nice. There's stuff happening, guys, all around us all the time. Can I submit to you today what I just said earlier, that this is not just intended to be a Sunday school lesson that's cute and you did a little craft and you went home and you forget about it. This is intended from the very beginning when Jesus came to the earth, God sent him here to die on the cross, shed his blood to be the redeeming sacrifice for you and I. This is the instruction manual by which we should live our lives. The outflow of what should come out of my life should be this. People should be reading the Bible when they see Brandt. Now, sometimes that's a challenge. And I know for you, sometimes that's a challenge. But what should be coming out of our lives? What should be the overflow of what's taking place when we get squeezed with life, when challenges and trials and difficulties come? What should come out of our life should be God's word. Patience and love and peace and grace and understanding and a listening ear. And the things that we're seeing in this world today, people are responding in a wildly different way than what this book teaches. And here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing through, you know, when you go on a long road trip, the kids fall asleep, which is a praise the Lord right there. And also your wife will fall asleep every now and then too, as long as you're keeping the wheel pretty steady. The left and right thing she's not really into. The straight she loves. So when they fall asleep, I know I'm getting older because I listen to talk radio a little bit, you know. And so I was lit. I know. I realized it after the fact. I was really enjoying it and then realized, man, you're getting old. Yeah. So I was listening to the commentary as it related to some of the things that they're saying in our nation politically as it relates to all of these events, these horrific events of people dying, people killing other people. And what they're concluding, at least on the space that I heard, they're concluding that we can't legislate change. The change has to start happening in our neighborhoods and in our homes and in our schools. They're literally starting to realize after asking the question for years and years and years. I mean, Colorado has an unfortunate place in all of this conversation because of the number of shootings that we've had here and horrific mass murders. Hundreds. Now we're getting to thousands of people have died, been killed, been murdered. And then you add up all the other goofiness that's happening around the world with people just, you know, unthinkable stuff. And so we're coming back and God is starting to break through the noise. And we can't be a silent majority anymore. That God's word is the truth by which we should lay a foundation. Now I'm preaching. Lay a foundation. Based on the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And when I don't like something that you say, or I don't like something that you've done, I don't react in violence. I don't react with another harsh word. I extend grace and mercy and a listening ear and tell me more about that. And you shouldn't have done that to me. And I don't like that. And I don't like the way you treated my family. I don't like the way you treated me. But I'm not going to respond in violence. It's in the book. When we get squeezed as a church, what should come out of us is God's word. Not the way that our families of the past would respond. Well, I'm going to tell them that. And some of you are sharp with the tongue and you need to reel that thing back in. So the emphasis that I want to place today, because there's too much to address in all of that, just too much to address. The emphasis that I want to place on is that, is the word of God coming out of my life in the most difficult days of my life or in the most celebratory, wonderful days of my life? Is God's word coming out of me? Is God's word what people are reading when they see me, respond and act? You know, when I don't see them looking at me. Because we can get, this is a long detour exit that we've just taken here. Because we can find ourselves quickly responding and reacting like the people around us and not about the book that God's given us as the instruction manual for our lives. And it takes some time and it takes some effort. And so let me follow up on the question, the rhetorical question of, I've given my life to Christ. Now what else is it that you want me to do? I want you to dive into God's word and I want you to be at church week after week and get around the atmosphere atmosphere of God's word, his truth, his love, his grace, and his mercy. We're not a perfect people here at Legacy Chapel. No church is. No person is. But when we're pursuing the good book, when we're pursuing principle upon principle, precept upon precept, brick upon brick, stone upon stone, we start receiving some things into our life that change us, that start changing the trajectory of our families, the way that we would respond. Some families are responding in alcoholism. Some families are responding in anger and in gossip and all these other ways that none of it lines up with God's word. And so now we see the leaders of our nation starting to respond, and I know because I have continued to build a good relationship in my workplace with the local law enforcement and the folks over there. They're saying it really matters. It really matters. Then they'll say, it really matters what happens in the home. It really, really matters. It really, really matters what happens at school in the rearing of these children, because we're bringing up generations that have no care for life and have no thought for grace and have no thought for forgiveness. You're going to find that all in here. So that detour is not meant to be a political tirade. That was meant to be an example of the deep importance of God's word in our lives today. So foundational truth number three. I believe the Bible, that this is what you would say as we're kind of building these truths. There's going to be eight of them. This is the third one that we're looking at today. I believe the Bible has decisive authority over what I say and do. I believe the Bible has decisive authority over what I say and do. Most people would say that the Bible has authority over what I believe. True? Most people would say that the Bible has authority over what I believe. I'm taking it a huge step forward in faith by saying it's not just what I believe, it's what everybody else sees, what I say and what I do. Because I can see what you believe by how you respond, by what you say and what you do. I can see that you're a man or woman of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but by what you say and what you do. I can see it. I can recognize it. The atmosphere around your life would conclude what it is that you believe. So the Bible is the decisive authority in my life over what I say and do. And this is a work in progress, brick upon brick, stone upon stone. Some of us have found ourselves roundhouse kicking somebody this last week, and we feel bad about it. I shouldn't have treated that person that way. And I get it. But it's that process of forgiveness and his grace and coming back to him and saying, Lord, I'll never do that again. I want you to bring that same opportunity. I don't want to be challenged, but bring that same opportunity to me, Lord, and I will respond in a different way. I'll respond the way that you would want me to respond. I will extend the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness that you've given me, Lord, and I will give that to the people around me. As followers of Jesus Christ, we believe the Bible has the ultimate authority in how we live our lives. There are many, many, many different voices and inputs competing for our attention. There's our family, our friends, the media, the web, social media. There's experts, and there's even our own conscience that is vying for position in our lives. As Christians, we should place the Bible at the very top of the list. At the center of our lives should be God's word. Can I ask you this? What does God say about it? In your life, the questions that you're positioned and challenged with today, what does God say on that subject matter? Because I know many of you have hit the Google search and have asked the family, and you're looking at social media. Man, oh man. What if we spend as much time in God's word as we do in social media? This is me thumbing down through the live feed. What if we spend as much time? Equal. I'm not saying you have to give up your social media time. Whew, okay, everybody back in the room. I'm just saying, what if it was equal? I bet your posts would be different. Hey, man, keep preaching. Okay, here we go. the Bible should be the bottom line for our lives. You know, what matters? Boil it down. What's the bottom line on this issue? Well, what does the Bible say? So here's why the Bible's been given to us. The Apostle Paul, teaching to young Timothy as a pastor, he's delivering this word of encouragement to him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17 says this, "The whole Bible," this is in the Living Bible, "the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration," we're going to come back, would you circle that word right there, inspiration, we'll come back to that, "given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong. It straightens us out, and it helps us do what is right." I don't need that. No, we actually do. And we need the whole Bible. It's God's way of making us well-prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. That's why we have the Bible. Now, today is not at all intended to be a condemnation at any point. But I will tell you, this church believes the Bible. And we want the people that come here to be in the Bible. And I know that 66 books of the Bible sitting here can be a little bit intimidating. So we've invested in these devotionals that are in your seat backs. This month, they're white with, an oyster shell or something on the front. But they're a three-month devotional. And they are fantastic five-minute reads that get God's Word and His truth into your life. What is it that you are doing right now to ensure that brick upon brick, stone upon stone is being built for your life? No, not your career. Not your marriage. Not your finances. Not how to be a parent. Not how to be a good husband or a spouse. God's word in you. And then what you will find out is you all of a sudden have answers for the marriage and for the job and for the kids. And you're like, all of a sudden, wow, I'm way more patient. I'm way more forgiving. Man, I would have bit their head off. And you're like, I've changed. I'm different. What's been different? Been spending time in God's Word, however you're getting it. Now, the most ways you can possibly get God's Word in the earth is happening right now in 2016. There are apps now that will read you the Bible. So if you tell me, I don't like to read, I'm not a reader, I don't like to read, your smartphone will read you the Bible. Oh, man. So three reasons why. We got to move quickly here. This vacation stuff is... Oh, you guys were short last week a little bit, I heard. Right? Just a little bit. The AC wasn't working, and Pastor Billy preached a little short, so I'm going to make sure that I make up his time plus my time, so we'll be, like, 2 o'clock, we'll be good. Three reasons why the Bible has authority in my life or should have authority in my life. And the first one is the Bible is inspired by God. I asked you earlier, just a few minutes ago, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, there's a word in that verse that says inspired or inspiration. The word literally means, as you study it out, it means God breathed. It means that God breathed through the writers and the authors that penned the words of the Bible. It's God's intended life flow. It's sustaining oxygen for your life. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like you can't breathe, you can't catch your breath? The Word of God is meant to be a God's mouth-to-mouth resuscitation for your life. It's getting God's breath in you. It's ensuring that you operate in a supernatural way as opposed to just responding in a natural way. It's you take in the air and the oxygen and the supply of God Almighty. It's the inspired Word of God. So those 66 books of the Bible, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, it was written by roughly 40 human authors inspired by God over the span of 1,600 years, and it's amazing that at no time does it contradict itself in the span of 1,600 years. So the next one that you have there to fill in the blank is that the Bible is 100% reliable. The Bible is 100% reliable. The Bible has proven itself throughout the centuries to be very, very accurate. There is more evidence for the truth of the Bible than any other historical document or record that we have that we've ever found. For example, there are over 350 prophecies about the Messiah alone, and Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of those prophecies in order and in perfect harmony. There's a fantastic book, we used to give it away here, called The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel wrote the book. He's an attorney, and he went through, as an atheist or agnostic, went through trying to prove that Jesus was not the Messiah, and at the end of his research, he realized Jesus is the Messiah. And he wrote a book. This is unbelievable. I set out to disprove it. I got to the end of it, and it's true. There's no way that we can deny the fact that that guy was the Messiah. The Bible is 100% reliable. Number three, the Bible is relevant today. And by the way, I've given you some extra scriptures there in parentheses that you guys can go study and read. The Bible is relevant today. God's word is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. God's still using the Bible to touch hearts and transform lives. People who read his word are still being drawn closer to God. They are still discovering God's purpose for their lives, and they're still finding answers to the biggest challenges of the day. The toughest questions of their life are still being answered by the Bible. It is relevant for today. More than it's ever been, it's relevant for today. We see humanity and society crumbling around us right now. Literally, the morality of our world is draining out of the feet of its people. And God's word is the answer. The truths of God's word is the answer. You know, some kids in schools think that, love your neighbor as yourself or be kind is something the principal came up with. That came from the Bible. We've lost not just a generation, we've lost multiple generations about the truth of God's word. And now it's being tagged on to somebody else's, scholastic whatever is the one that thought of it. No, it came from God's word. So today we have four actions when we look at God's word as the authority, and I wrote it this way: I submit to the Bible's authority when I, number one, study the Bible for nourishment. And so what's implicit in that statement and the next three that we make is that for you to truly move forward as a Christian and as a believer, you must submit your life 100% to the authority of God's word. So when I submit to the Bible's authority, I must study the Bible for nourishment. I must study the Bible. Well, tell me about what you've been... Well, I researched this, and I talked to this person, and I called that expert over there, and I da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm waiting in the conversation of where... Okay, what has God been saying about that? I'm studying the Bible for nourishment. Your physical body requires nourishment. Mine needs more than most people. I don't know who came up with, 2,000 calories? Are you kidding me? That's a salad. I need way more than 2,000 calories. So we went on vacation, and when we checked in, I had forgotten that Abigail made sure that there was a couple of really important things on the list of have-tos as it is for a vacation hotel. The one at the top of my list is free breakfast. Every morning. A hot breakfast every morning. So my mom taught me, and I'm sure her parents taught her, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So I eat it at all the meals. Want to be an overachiever? Go ahead and have it. So they had bacon every day. Every day. It's got more bacon. And they had these cookies, and man, they saw me coming a long way off. They had bacon and they had cookies. I think I'm going to go back. Nourishment. Your body requires, now I know we kick back over and Abby's got me eating oatmeal again and that whole thing, and so we're dried fruit and whatnot. It's going to be okay. But you still need nourishment for your body. It's amazing to me. Every single day, your body needs nourishment. And if you go a period of time without water and food, all of a sudden we got some reactions happening. Some stuff doesn't operate. There's not the same energy level. There's not the same focus. Hear me. There's not the same focus. There's not the same energy level. There's not the same resiliency. There's not the same stamina. So when we get to God's word, and his word being spiritual nourishment for our spirit man, and we go flying off the handle and wonder, why did I respond that way? It's because you haven't eaten anything in days. You haven't drank in the Spirit of God with going for 5 minutes and being in his presence. 5 minutes is attainable. Frankly, 10 or 30 is very attainable in our world. You just have to block it out. Some of you may need to kickstart this thing and go for an hour or something and just get in the presence of the Lord. Play some worship music, read his word, and watch it change your life. Fill up your spirit man with Holy Ghost nourishment that you need for your life. And then watch how you respond. Watch what comes out of your life. Watch the stamina and the resiliency that you will have for this life. Watch the grace and the mercy that you would extend to people that you would have otherwise. We must study God's word for nourishment. And there are so many ways to get God's word in your life. There's method upon method about how to go through the books of the Bible. There is online support tools that will literally send you emails every day. Now text messages at the same time every day for you to read a little quick devotional to get God's word into your life. I already told you one. You get the app, it'll read it to you. So if you walk or run or you exercise in the morning and you just want to get that, it'll actually read the Bible to you. Say, I want to listen to the Gospel of John today. I want to listen to this or that. It'll actually put it in you. It'll read it to you. Guys, if we're going to change society, if the stuff that we're seeing out there happening and literally crumbling around us is going to change, the change starts right here. The change starts right here. How I respond is going to impact the issues that we're facing today. I personally take it as an insult that the things happening in today's society are happening around my life. I personally take that as an insult. Like, we have got to do something. We rally up the kids. We have a family meeting, and we talk it over. Hands in. Break. We're ready for the day. I mean, we've personally, you guys, the body of Christ, we've got to say, listen, this is not right. And don't be looking out there. Be looking right here. Be looking down right here saying, what am I putting into my life? Am I getting God's nourishment, or am I eating something that I shouldn't be eating? If you're filling your life with junk, that's what you're going to get. No stamina, no resiliency, no strength. You're just junk. Guys, we have to get God's word into our life. So in all of this, keep it simple. That's what I really want to communicate. Number one is keep it simple. Read it, hear it, discuss it, get it in you. Get it, meditate on it, pray over it. As you read through the word, you'll find out that there's this word called meditate that's constantly in God's word as it relates to pondering, thinking, immersing yourself in studying, meditating on the word of God, allowing it to fill your thought life. So I challenge you today on the first 15, the daily plan called the first 15, and I'm putting it out there to you. I'm not going to come check and knock on your door, but the first 15 minutes of every day, you get into God's word. Take 5 minutes to read, 5 minutes to pray, and 5 minutes to journal and write. 15 minutes. 5 to read, 5 to pray, and 5 to journal. Okay? Spend some time in God's word, and you watch within a very short period of time how the spiritual strength of your life will change. Your spirit man will be energized like never before. Just 5, 5, and 5, the first 15. Some of you are not morning people. Okay? Alternative number 2, the last 15. give God some time and watch him radically change your life. Jeremiah 15 and 16 says, your words are what sustain me. They are food for my hungry soul. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. How proud I am to bear your name, O Lord. Number two is I must search the Bible for guidance. I must search the Bible for guidance. Psalms 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. It is a lamp for my feet. It will direct my way and a light for my path. I Google searched guidance. I call it the Goog. I Googed guidance. Can I tell you what came up in the search? Go ahead, hit your smartphones. Here's what came up. The first thing that came up, guidance. First thing that came up, IRS. The IRS came up when I Googled guidance. Guidance. Here it is. IRS counseling. Meaning personal counseling, self-help books, 12-step programs, life coaching, and horoscopes. Those were the prevailing themes of the word search guidance. Nowhere in there is God's word. And Google's search is based on people's searches. So we are missing the boat. There is a mega disconnect. I need guidance, I need help, I need insight, and we go everywhere else but God's word. We must search the Bible for guidance. Did you know that the Bible does speak about every major situation in our lives? Yes, it does. It speaks about marriage, career, finances, relationships, nearly anything that you're challenged with. You can read the Bible, walk in the shoes of a Bible character, and learn the things that you need to learn for your life. Yes, you can. It's in the Bible. Psalms 32 and verse 8, one of my favorite, probably top five scriptures in the whole Bible, says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Wow. Number three, I submit to the Bible's authority when I memorize the Bible for success. Now we're going deeper. Now, we just went right past the app reading the Bible to us. I must memorize the Bible for success. Memorizing scripture is very powerful. It enables you to grow spiritually and gain victory in your life, victory over every challenge that you could face when you memorize the Bible. If you remember, Jesus was tempted by Satan in three different situations. You remember that story? Jesus was tempted three times by Satan. He was taken and shown these things and said, if you bow down to me, then I will make you this or I'll make you that. And so the enemy is tempting him. And three times, in all three temptations, what did Jesus respond with? Well, Google would like to respond. No, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. The enemy came at him three different times on the same subject, tempting him with three different things. And every time Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. If Jesus is going to have to do it three times, how many times do you think we're going to have to do it? Well, I'm only up for one. No, you're going to have some tenacious faith of getting God's word in you. And when the temptation to sin or go do something crazy comes up in your mind, you can counteract that with God's word. No, I'm filled with the love and the peace and the presence of God in my life. The greater one lives on the inside of me. One of the most amazing revelations at my old age. Kyle's laughing because he reminds me of it every time he's with me. One of the most astounding revelations in my old age is that if you want to be 15 years old for the rest of your life, you can be. If you want to react and respond and process information like a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid who's going through adolescence and their emotions are off the scale, you can live the rest of your life that way. I know. I've come across these people. I'm thinking, you got to be 30-something, 40-something, 50-something. Why are you responding, reacting, speaking that way? I must be hitting on something right here. I mean, you can be 16 for the rest of your life. But if you want to grow and mature, brick upon brick, stone upon stone, become that man of God, that woman of God, that person of vision that you desire to be, it's brick upon brick, stone upon stone. It's getting God's word in you. It's memorizing scripture so that when that stuff comes up, you can be like Jesus. You know, that's who we should be like. You can be like Jesus and say, it is written. Now, here's the thing. You start with where you're at. You start with the word of God that you do know. And some of you don't feel condemned or feel like you're less of a person, this or that. What is it in God's word that you do know? Here's the thing. If you don't want to do the first 15, just get one scripture a month. Do one scripture a month. And when you got that down, go to one scripture a week and read it and meditate on it every day. Read it and meditate it on every day. Start in Proverbs, start in Psalms. I can give you some. Email me. I'll help you with it. But get one verse a day, and you watch by the end of this year how your life will radically change when you can recall and remember God's word for your life and watch the success of your life and the victory of your life at whole new levels. Like, wow, I didn't know that this could actually happen. Some of y'all are intimidating. Memorize the Bible for success. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read some scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of the Lord is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. If you've got a situation in your life that you're trying to work through, you've got to get some word down deep within your heart, deep within your spirit, man, and let that thing just marinate, germinate. Let it grow and let it push out all that junk that you don't want in your life, the stuff that you know because you've been living life long enough that there's some stuff that you just don't want in your life anymore. Get some of God's word down in there and watch it just push it out. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. Meditate in it day and night. Meditate in it day and night. Meditate in it day and night. One of the best examples on this that I have ever heard originated, I think, from Andrew Womack, and then I heard Ashley Terades give it when he was here last preaching. He said this, God intended for the space in your mind to be filled with God's word to meditate on that word, whereas the church today is using the space in their mind to be filled with worry. And it's filled with worry to the point that you can go throughout your day, finish your tasks, take care of your family, do your job, make the phone calls, do the emails, fill out the forms, do everything that you were supposed to do during that day, and be wrapped in worry. Instead of being wrapped with God's word, his love and his goodness, being filled with today is going to be a great day. God is for me, not against me. God is with me wherever I go. He said that I could overcome any obstacle in my life. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I mean, you get some of that stuff in you, all of a sudden you walk a little taller. You don't need high heels, ladies. You just walk a little taller. Your shoulders go back. Your chin goes up. Oh, I got a funny story. I'll tell you later. Man, I got to go. There... It changes the posture and the countenance of your life when you show up into the room and in the meeting with God's word filled in your heart, and people will start looking at you differently. Because I'm telling you, your countenance, your complexion, your disposition, the light in your eyes will change when you know that you're walking into that meeting and God's got your back. Whatever happens in here, God's with me. It's not an arrogance, it's a confidence that God's word is true. He's sustaining me. Memorize the Bible for success. Number four today, I promise I will tell you that story someday. Number four, if I'm to submit to the authority of God's word, I must, number four, obey the Bible for spiritual growth. It's not just what I believe. It's not just what I say and do. It's what I actually obey. Can I challenge you today and submit something to you? That the only things that you really believe are the things that you obey. The only things that you really believe are true are the things that you obey. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, rearing your kids to take the trash out and they need to obey. I'm talking about you live an everyday, grown-up adult life. And the stuff in God's word, the stuff that I actually obey and I abide by, is the stuff that's at the core of my being. And unfortunately, we're dealing with the body of Christ today where the list is rather short. Because we've excluded some of God's word, his word and his truth to, it's not relevant, it's not applicable for today, it's not for me, it's not for my family, it's not for my region, it's not for this part of the city. No, I'm telling you, it's for everybody, it's for every day, and it's for every part of the world. God's word. So what is it that you obey is what you will grow in. It's what you will be discipled in. Some of you desire with a deep passion to be discipled in God's word. Can I submit to you today? The things that you are obeying are the things that you are being discipled in. If you're obeying patience, guess where you're growing as a disciple in Christ? Patience. Second Corinthians 3 and 16, this is about personal transformation. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18 says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So we're talking about the old, the law that has been taken away. The veil has been removed. You can read this whole passage and get a little bit better context. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But you all, with unveiled face, meaning the law has been removed, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you are being transformed. The literal word there is metamorphosis. We find the same word in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, when it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The metamorphosis, the actual changing of the molecular makeup of the, in this case, human being or the creature going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. There's an actual metamorphosis. There's a transformation that takes place. The transforming of your mind. The transforming, in this verse, the image being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So what's this verse saying? Quickly, and then I'll be done. It's saying this, the more that I behold, the more that I behold the Word of God, I become like God. I become in the same image, the same likeness, the same responses, the same character, the same nature, the same. That's why he's given us the book, guys. He wants us to become. As I behold him in the mirror, I become transformed. I become changed. You know when somebody has been spending time in the Word. You know when somebody has been spending time with God. You can tell when somebody has been in the presence of the Lord. They're changed. Their speech changes. Their countenance changes. Their disposition about life changes. In a humorous way, we see this with our kids, with my kids. When they spend more time with my mom than they spend with Abby's mom. When we get to the end of a prayer, they will say, amen. Amen. Amen, Dad. You have been spending time with your Mima, which is my mom, who is from the South. And all of a sudden, the dialect of their English changes. Listen to me, I'm teaching. The dialect of their language begins to change. Amen. Amen. And they will say that at the dinner. Amen. I'm like, woo, been spending some time with me, haven't you? If you guys have met my mom, you know. Your speech will change, your disposition will change, your mindset will change. When you get in the presence of God and you allow His Word to saturate your very being, you will find out, brick upon brick, stone upon stone, you are becoming that house that God's talking about, where a place where He is pleased to dwell, where He's excited to dwell. I want that for all of us. Guys, it is my heart and passion to see Legacy Chapel not just be this big church. I want Legacy Chapel to be a catalyst for change in our city. Will we respect and, dare I say, love the police and the civil servants of our cities? Where we pray for the mayors and we pray for the school boards and the superintendents and we actually lift them up in prayer as opposed to giving us all the opinions. Which have a place, but your prayer life should be number one. Where we go in love and serve, and we're doing it right now, little bit upon little bit, Legacy Chapel is getting out there, and we are serving our city, and we are intending to make a change, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into every footstep that we take, every handshake that we give, every smile that we give, every help that we can lend, we take the gospel wherever we go. Guys, this is serious business. Let's pray together.